mustard seed up here, Brother Brewer and Brother Shoecraft and Brother McDonald. But I'll try and hurry and get out of the way here. I want to obey the Lord. With these other brothers, plenty of time. Brother Clayton and them, they sit right in front of us at church, and he's always saying something about how he ain't heard me preach since he's been here, so here we go. I'm sorry, but here we go. But I just want to try and help us tonight. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. In verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And read verse 11 once again. It says, The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? In verse 11, it talks about, she told him that he didn't have nothing to draw with. And I believe reading in some places here, it says that it was Eastern travelers frequently carry a leather bucket with which to draw water from public wells. So I believe that, first off, she didn't know what to think. This guy was sitting on the well.
Yeah.
In verse 10, and Jesus talking and says, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it looks like here that maybe she didn't even know who he was.
All right.
And she was sitting on the side of the well trying to figure out why he didn't have a bucket to draw with.
All right.
But the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And just for a little while, some of y'all may have heard this one before, but it's just what I had on my heart. So I feel the Lord here trying to help us. And I'll just bear with me. I'll get through and sit down. I'd like to preach on, He has the picture. He has the picture. And Jacob's well here, history says that it was 105 foot deep. And it was 9 foot in diameter. And it had 15 foot of water. Mm-hmm. So I didn't add this up, but somewhere around 90 foot, I guess, it was to the bottom of the water, if I read it right.
Yeah.
But she was asking him. He had nothing to draw with. Mm-hmm. But what he was there for, it says, But whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
Right.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him,
all right,
shall be in him, shall never thirst. But the water shall I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
You know, no doubt, it says she was at the sixth hour. I think that's about noon.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was. The Bible don't record, I guess, if it was in the winter or not, but let's just take it as it was the summer. You know, she was there needing water, physical water. You know, sometimes we come to church and, you know, we want to be worried about, you know, does this look good or does that look good? And I know you husbands, your wife probably asks you 100 times what her hair looks like. And I know that's just women. But, you know, sometimes we want to come to church just to see our neighbor or to see what they wore or how they look. No doubt she was coming for physical water. But I believe God had other things in mind for her. He knew she was coming and what her situation was going to be when she got there.
All right.
And the same to us. He sees us right here. And, you know, we may be sitting up on that well so many times like we try to do, just sit back and say, Lord, I'm over here. But it just so happened she come to him. You know, it's not very often that I say it ain't, and maybe it is for you, but most of the time, we got to do the moving.
Yeah, right.
A lot of times, most of the time, we got to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's this problem that we're in. You know, I was thinking about this while ago, and I guess it's just the devil come to me and say, well, you know, this young people, they don't have no problems. But they got problems just like we do.
Yeah.
And like the brother said earlier, it's not just for the young people, but it's for all of us. But, you know, she needed something, no doubt. And God was there to help her.
Yeah.
You know, she he didn't have that physical pitcher or bucket, but he's got that pitcher that we need to fill our vessel.
Amen.
Have you ever, I'm liking this, and we like to go to Molly's a lot. And you know, when that lady comes around with the pitcher of tea or whatever, you know, I may not be totally empty, but I know it might be a little while before she comes back, so I'll just stick my cup out and get some more while I'm there. But, you know, if we could just stick our cup up tonight. The woman with the issue of blood, I'll read a few scriptures here. Be a lot more reading than usual, but in Matthew chapter 5, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 5. I'll just read bits and pieces. I had a lot of it wrote down here, but we'll just get to verse 25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She spent all that she had and was nothing better. But verse 27, when she heard of Jesus,
amen,
came in the press behind and touched his garment.
Yeah.
For she said, if I may but touch his clothes,
right,
I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be in whole of thy plague. You know, this right here, Jesus, he knew who the woman was that touched him. And he knew her situation. I'm pretty sure before he even got there, he knew what her problem was and what was going to happen. The same with us. God knows your problem. It's been kind of rolling over my mind that maybe the devil's telling you that nobody cares. Maybe you're at that spot and I don't know. Just I've never been so nervous about preaching in my life when I was today. But hopefully that's for a good reason, I guess. But, you know, I'm glad the Lord touched me.
Amen.
You know, maybe you're in that spot where Elijah was, and I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab starts off and says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. This was, I believe, after he had done seen the fire fall from heaven, seen the great rain. And now he's running into the wilderness. I believe he's wanting to kill himself, or he would that he would die. I believe that's how the Bible said it. You know, sometimes that's how things are. You know, we feel the fire and we feel the rain, and then here comes the devil. That's usually how it works. We have a good service or feel the Lord, have a good prayer meeting or something, and then here comes the devil. And that's where we're at tonight, I feel like. Somebody's here tonight laying by that juniper tree, and maybe we'll just read it. I didn't have it marked, but we'll read it in 1 Kings chapter 19, I believe is where it is. Verse 4 says, But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough. It is enough. If we can just get to that point where it's enough. We just had enough. And we'll look up for that picture and say, Lord, here am I. Somewhere in Jeremiah, I believe it is, it talks about the broken cisterns. Talks about repairing them. I don't know exactly the whole story there, but if we could just repair those broken cisterns and say, I've had enough, devil. Lord, just here's my cup. He's got the picture tonight of what we need. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. The angel come to him and touched him and said, Arise. You know, that was enough, I would think, for him to arise. But verse 6 says, And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. First angel comes to him, and you know, the Bible's no fairy tale, so we can believe what the Bible says, can't we?
All right.
So Elijah's laying here, and an angel comes to him and tells him to arise and eat. For me, that would be enough. For me to arise and eat. But he also looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink. Seems like the Lord's helping him, but he laid back down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
Amen.
And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. You know, sometimes we just want to lay by that tree and just wither up and die there. The angel comes to us and says, It's time to get up. But we want to lay back down and say, Lord, I've seen everything. I've seen the fire and I've seen the rain. But now I'm out here in this wilderness and nobody cares. And I'm just here laying by this tree. And I know this is a youth revival and we're supposed to be encouraging people, but maybe somebody can get some help. But if we could just get up from that tree, from laying down and our problems and whatever they might be, and Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Everybody at church probably gets tired of me talking about this guy, and everybody probably knows where I'm headed. But it says, And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And if I gather everything right, Timaeus, I believe blind Bartimaeus was the son of a blind man. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I think it was Timaeus' dad was a blind man. But anyway, and when he heard that it was of Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, we got this blind man sitting here, and that could be us and our troubles and our trials. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by And he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me."
Amen.
You know, no doubt he couldn't see Jesus where he's at, but I believe maybe he heard him. Or it says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I don't know if somebody told him he was coming or if he just heard him. But he said he cried out and said, "Jesus, thou son of David."
Right.
You know, if we could liken this unto the fire that Elijah's seen, Jesus coming, or the rain, and now we have the juniper tree coming. It says, "Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me."
Yes.
Jesus, thou son of David. The Bible says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's just a couple examples here about the woman with the issue of blood. She had this infirmity. I get all mixed up with the 12 years. And she had this problem for 12 years. And then someone helped her. Someone had that, not just someone, but Jesus had the answer to her problem. She pressed through, and no doubt she touched the hem of his garment. But can we liken it until she held out her vessel and he poured out that blessing out of the pitcher? You know, we can, a lot of times, we can just go and get what we need out of that pitcher, out of the fridge or whatever. Just like this, Jesus has got what we need in that pitcher. Then we had Elijah. He requested for himself that he might die and went into the wilderness after he'd done seen these great things. And just like us, sometimes people that want to go into the world and try and find help and find what they need. But if we could just find out tonight what we really need.
Amen.
We need something from that pitcher in our vessel.
Yes.
Whatever we might need. Whatever might be your problem. Healing, if you need your joy back. Amen. He's got it in that pitcher tonight just for us. Whatever we need. I won't turn there. I got it marked, but I'll skip over. Everybody knows about the scripture. It says, "To ask and you shall receive. To seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open." You know, I never have thought about it like this till here a while back. Those three words there, ask, seek, and knock, are put in that order, ask, seek, and knock. And the first letter of each one is ask. It spells ask.
Amen.
You know, if we could just ask him. That woman came to him and said, "Lord, you don't have nothing to draw with." But if she knew that he had the pitcher of everlasting life,
Amen.
If we could just get to him tonight, say, "Lord, here am I.
Amen.
Fill my cup.
Yes.
Here's what I need, Lord." Well, you may have a problem that you've been saying, "Well, he can't help me with this." Yeah, he can. Brother Clayton might have a problem that his wife don't know about, that the Lord knows about.
All right.
But God can answer everything.
Right.
You may not have told everybody else about it, but God knows about it.
Amen.
God knows what you need.
Yes, he does.
John 7 and 37 says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It says there in verse 37, it says, "If any man thirst, let him come." That don't just mean your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or the song leader, but it says if any man shall come. If any man's got a problem, this is just my version here, I guess. If any man just got a problem, whatever it is, whether it may just seem small to you or whether it may seem big. You know, sometimes we get to that place where we just don't know what to do. Maybe like Elijah, he fled into the wilderness and just didn't know what to do, maybe. But the angel came to him and told him to arise and eat. Could it be that the Lord's bringing this picture to your vessel tonight? Or maybe that he's sitting there on the side of the well. Maybe the well of joy, or the well of salvation, or the well of hope. Or the Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maybe you just need a friend, someone to talk to. Whatever it is, he's here tonight, and he cares for you. Whatever you need. I didn't get this across just like I did, wanted to, but he's got what you need. A lot of times this time of year where you want to ask mom and dad for a certain thing for Christmas. And this guy at my job, I was telling him, we was talking today. And I said, what's your wife getting you for Christmas? He said, oh, I told her I didn't want nothing. Well, I come across, I guess, with a little bit grittier attitude than him. I said, well, you know, she's going to get you something. You might as well tell her what you want so she'll get what you want. And but the Lord knows tonight what exactly what we need. Sometimes what we want, I hate to say it this way, but sometimes exactly what we want might not be what we need. Sometimes we come to that door and knock. And we wait around. I don't know if anybody's ever did that. You go to somebody's door and you know they're in there. And you knock. I tell often Brother Clayton in there. I've had to do that a couple of times at their house. I about went to the bedroom window the other day. You go up, knock, and you wait and wait. Nobody comes. Well, you say, well, I'll open the screen door and knock on the door. Maybe I can knock a little harder there. But if we could get that attitude tonight, just to keep knocking. Maybe you've already been knocking. Let me tell you, just to keep knocking. He's got the picture up there, just, I feel like just leaning over, just waiting to give it to you. If we could just cry out some more. Thou Son of David. Thou Son of David. Everybody told him to keep his peace, to be quiet. But he cried the more. Thou Son of David. That song they were singing, no one can touch you like Jesus can. Surely no one can. Just ask blind Bartimaeus. Everybody that come by and dropping coins in his beggar's pot or whatever he had there, his can. I'm sure people did that to him and tried to help him out. And you could ask him, who was the nicest one? No doubt he'd probably say that Jesus Christ, the Son of David.
Yeah.
One day I was sitting over here and he came walking by, and or maybe we could say, one day I was sitting in house of prayer at Holiness Church, house of prayer. And it was about 8:05 and I could just feel the Lord tugging at me. That he wanted to help me. Maybe they can come back and sing a little bit more of that song and I'll get out of the way, if that's okay. Maybe Rachel and them coming back and get ready. Maybe I'm just off in left field or something, but I feel the Lord here trying to help somebody. Maybe it is that you've had your vessel up, knocking on the door, and it seems like he's not coming. Was it Mary and Martha thought he was 4 days late? But he was just on time. He sees where we're at tonight. He knows exactly where each and every one of us are at. And he knew who was going to be here. He knew who was not going to be here. What do you need him to be? He's everything we need him to be. He is our Alpha and our Omega. He's our beginning and the end.
Amen.
He cares for us, and he is Christ. He's our deliverer, and he's excellent. He's our Father. He's the great I Am. He's holy. He is I Am. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's mighty and he's mine. He's a name above all names. He's omnipotent. He's perfect. And he's our quiet place in this world. He's our rest, our Redeemer, our Savior. He's not just a King, but he's the King. He's unbelievable. He's our victory, our will to go on. He's our Exandrium, our place of beauty. He's our yearning and our zeal. What do you need from him? Do you need him to be your deliverer or your redeemer or just to be your friend? Do you need him to be your peace or your rest or your salvation? Whatever you need him to be, he's got it in the picture. I believe he's sitting on the well of a friend. He's sitting on a well of joy, of love, of salvation. He's sitting there tonight just to help you. I've heard people say it before, and I agree with them. I believe if I was the only person on earth, same for you, I believe he would have carried that cross to Calvary just for me. He did it just for you. Brother Bill Houston preached that night at church. It's been a couple months ago now. He preached, "You're the point of it all." And he did it just for you. He knows we'd be here tonight needing help from him. Let's let them sing a little bit more. I'll just feel after the Lord and try and get something from him. He's got that picture tonight. He's got it here just to help us. Maybe we could all just stand and thank him for what he's done. Ask him to help us with that problem that we have.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds like nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. could love. Power from above, bringing hope and restoration.